And last year, I got to be here the first Sunday of January, and they weren't here. But God, in His kindness, let them come over here. Amen?
Amen.
I know all of you are real disappointed about it, but they're glad they're here. Now, that is a blessing, and I'm glad for how God works in our lives and gets us what He wants us to do. So, you that weren't here for the first hour, I'll just quickly say that this morning and tonight, I'm going to be preaching concerning the Spirit-filled life. And what does it mean to be Spirit-filled? Is it something that's attainable? How long does it last? What do we do? How do we go about being Spirit-filled? And what is that? And so I'll just give you this picture. Tonight I'll do it distinctly. But many people's Christian life, they're born again, they're saved, but their Christian life does this. It goes up and down. Big crash. Up and down. And most of us, that's where we live all the time. And that's a picture of my life. I got saved when I was 8 years old. My dad was my pastor. And anyway, we'll talk about that and so on. And most of my life has been like this. But this past year, I've discovered that it's not supposed to be like that, number one, but I've discovered why it was like that and what can be done about it. And I really want to encourage you to, if you can all do whatever you can to come back tonight, you really need both halves. This morning, I think it'll be a help and a blessing to you, but if you could get tonight's half, tonight is where I'm going to really concentrate on that and help, I believe, every one of us. And so I'm going to do this. If you have a ribbon in your Bible, a marker, if you would put a marker in 1 Corinthians 15. If you don't know where 1 Corinthians is, put your thumb at the end of your Bible, the back of it, and flip real slow. If you get to Romans or Matthew, Mark, Luke, or Acts, start over. It's closer to the back than that. 1 and 2 Corinthians are right there together. 1 Corinthians 15, put a marker there. And then if you go to the middle of your Bible, it's Psalm 139. Psalm 139, if you would go there. Psalm 139. In the entry out front, there's a table out there. It has several books on it, some t-shirts. I'll talk about that after the service is all over and explain that to you. But Psalm 139, if you're able, I do ask people to stand, please. It's a way that I remind every congregation I speak to that we don't stand for a man, we don't stand for this place, but we do stand to give reverence and honor to the eternal, infallible, inerrant, it's the perfect, preserved Word of God.
Amen.
You and I have God's perfect Word. It's incredible. So in just a moment, I'm going to read out of Psalm 139. I'll have you look at it with me. But before we read that, I want to remind, at the first hour, I used these verses, and I'm just going to remind everybody about it. So God said in the book of Genesis, just look up here, He said in verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our own image.
Amen.
And then it said, so God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He Him. Male and female created He them.
Right.
And then just down another couple of verses, He said, so God saw everything that He had made, and it was very good.
Amen.
Now Psalm 139, verse 14. I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Thy works. And that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from Thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. That's all we're going to read together, but look up here. when he says that created in the lowest parts of the earth, what that actually is referring to is when conception happened in the womb. We were curiously wrought. God is the one that made us. Fearfully and wonderfully made. Jesus said to Nicodemus, well, that which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. There's another verse I'd like to bring to your attention. The book of Romans. It just says, nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Do you know that every human on the planet would change something about themselves if they could? The most beautiful people, when they do pictures, they airbrush them. But everybody, every one of us in this room, it's hard to believe, the most beautiful people, they wish they could change something about themselves. If this eyebrow was just a little higher, it would be so much better. My chin, oh my chin, I wish my chin was different. Oh, I just don't like it. My ears, oh, couldn't you believe God gave me these things or whatever. Oh, I wish my hair was not like this. It's so funny. I wish my hair was curly, and the curly head people, I wish my hair was straight. I wish I was taller. I wish my hair was different. I wish that I had different parents. I wish I could have been, is anybody hearing me? Almost everybody in here says something you'd change. The Bible says, who art thou that repliest against God? When I was 23 or 24 years old, I was introduced to a fella that taught me something that I wasn't aware of. He said, if you cannot thank God for what you look like and how you were made, he said, you are at odds with God. You have not yet accepted that God is God and he knows what he's doing. And there are many people that are at odds with God. And let me tell you, you cannot totally ever be right with God because there's always that little friction there when you can't be happy and thankful for how you look. No matter what area of looking that you don't like. So when I was born with what's called a cleft lip and a cleft palate. Cleft just means a crack. So I had a crack in my lip, and my palate, hard and soft, had a crack in it. The street name is called a hair lip. Hair lip, when they say that, that just means they put a crack in it. And so I had that crack. I'm unaware of it. I was just born. Well, they sewed it together and put a patch on the roof of my mouth. And I've got 5 brothers and 5 sisters. I'm in the middle. And not one of my brothers or sisters ever told me I had a hair lip. None of them ever told me that. I didn't even know. Somewhere around the 2nd or 3rd grade, a friend of mine at school, at recess, he points under my nose. He goes, what's that? I said, I was born that way. He goes, okay, let's go play. That's how little kids do it. But then when I got in the 6th, 7th, 8th grade, others began to make fun of me. And the older boys especially, they make fun of my speech, and they tease me and so on. And I had some complex about it, but I got 5 brothers and 5 sisters, and I'm kind of in the middle. I never knew that I had a complex until I got older. And then I had the scar there, and I know that it shows up and so on, that obviously it's there. I can't hide it. So on. I thought, well, I'll never get a girlfriend. I'll never have anybody wants to be with me because I got this scar on my face and so on. And, so as I got older, God touched my heart to be a preacher, and I thought, how can you get in front of people and talk when people make fun of your speech? They can't even understand me. And I will tell you, I know for certain that with a cleft palate, hard and soft, that my speech has great clarity to it. But I didn't know that because others made fun of me. And us that are old, we know this. Some of you that are young don't know, but there used to be a Panasonic tape recorder that came out it's black and it has silver on it. You push the button, the lid was up. You put a cassette tape in there and push it down and you push record. Some of us remember the very first time you heard your own voice. Like there's three or four of you sitting around, you go, does that sound like me? It sounds just like you. Are you serious? I sound like that? It sounds just like you. I will never talk the rest of my life. I sound terrible. I didn't know everybody felt that way. When I was 22 or 3, I think it was 3, for the first time in my life, I said, God, I want to thank you for how you made me. When I was in my mother's womb, you came down and you took your finger and you touched me right under the nose. You made me special. Amen. Every one of us are made special. We got to learn how to tell him thanks. Let me pray with you. Our great God, I sure love you. Thank you. Thank you. And I am so glad that that man introduced me to the truth that I need to say thanks and not be disappointed about how many brothers and sisters I have, how poor we were, where I was raised, all that. And then how I look, I'm so thankful that I was taught to be thankful. Thank you, God. What I intend to try to declare and get across this morning, I pray that you'll give me power and unction to do that, that all of us could understand your truth. And God, you would use it in such a way in every heart that you will be glorified. So those that are not yet born again, thank you. Thank you so much that you're giving them another opportunity. Amen. And us that know you, thank you for what you planned and how you started your church and what you've done and how you gave it orders and commission. And I pray that what we're doing right now will bring glory to you and will find a relationship with you is what it ought to be. Thank you, Jesus. We can't wait to see you. It's in your holy and mighty name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So it's obvious God is the one that made us. But you know, every one of us are unique. Amen. Isn't that unbelievable? Over 4 billion people on the planet and nobody has the same fingerprints. The little retina thingy bob in the eye is all different for everybody. We have our own DNA. It's incredible. We're all totally different. It's wild. Some people are left brain. Some people are right brain. Some people are really just have tendency to music. They just, when, since a child, they just gravitate to it and it's in them and they're musically inclined. Some people are artistically inclined. You give them a crayon or a pencil, they start drawing. You go, how does that come out of your head and your hand? How did you do that? Other people are very good at math. You give them numbers, they just can do numbers, man. It's awesome. Some people, mechanics can take apart of stuff and put it back together, and they just kind of can figure it out, and they understand it. Carpenters build stuff. And you go, whoa, that is beautiful. How did you? And there's all of us are different. It's incredible. You give someone a pen or a typewriter, and they can start writing down, and you go, how? It's wonderful. I love how you write. I love it. I can see the pictures. It's incredible how that we are all so different. Watch this. It doesn't matter if a person's unsaved or saved. Every human is God. They have God-given ability and talent. Amen. We're all created for the same reason all humans are. Humans, God created us to bring him glory. And he created us to have fellowship with him. Amen. But then he gave us gifts and abilities. And with these gifts and abilities, we're supposed to bring him glory. So this I call it this unique self. how every human is born, we're unique. To get where I'm going, I'll give you this kind of picture, this analogy. If there were a hammer laying on a workbench, and someone came and picked up the hammer, and they built a widow woman, built her a new home. You go, man, that hammer has great value. If someone else came along and picked it up and bashed someone's head in, you go, whoa, that ain't so good. What's it? It depends on whose hand the hammer's in. It depends on the source of the hammer. So you turn that to what I'm trying to get across. Us humans all have ability and talents. We're not alike, we're all different, but our talents and abilities are supposed to bring glory to God. But it does depend on whose hand we're in. Who's using the life. There are two users, the two sources. This is called, over here, it's called the evil trinity, or the ungodly trinity, the unholy trinity. What's that? The world, the flesh, the devil. If you're in the hand of the world, the flesh, or the devil, you will only bring glory to the world, the flesh, the devil. All the talents and abilities that you were given, they're only now for yourself and how you can be benefited by them. But if you're over here and you're in God's hands, these talents and abilities we have can give Him glory. Can somebody say amen? Amen. All right, so here's how we're doing this. What? We can't change our gifts and abilities, our talents. You can study, you can add to, you can learn some stuff, but you can't change really who you are at the core. Right. But you can change whose hand you're in. Everybody with me? So we all start out over here. It's called, I don't know, the natural person, the natural man, natural humanity. Is everybody with me? We all start off over here. What do you mean by the natural man? Well, ever since Adam and Eve sinned, we all are born sinners. And so as all of us are in the same boat, when we were born, we're born in the natural human state. Here's another way to say it. I like it. It's cool. It's the Adamic. Isn't that a cool word? It's the Adam state. Adam sinned, and so we're all born sinners. So we all have the Adamic nature. Doesn't Adamic just sound intelligent? I love it. So we all are born with the Adamic nature. This is the natural state, but here's the problem. Under the Adamic nature, the natural state, every human is born separated from God. In fact, we have no access to God. Why? Because He's holy, we're not. We're all sinners. And that which is holy does not fellowship with that which is unholy. This is God's plan. And so the natural man is born like this. We did it in the first hour, but here we go. We were born body, soul, watch this, dead spirit. Every human is born dead spiritually. Why? Because we're all sinners. Well, why are we sinners? Because we're all kin to Adam. That, since you brought it up, that's why Jesus had to be virgin born. Mary was a virgin when she conceived Jesus. Why is that so important? Because if Adam, or if any human was involved in it, he would have Adam's blood in him. And would be contaminated. People that say, well, it doesn't matter if he's virgin born or not. Well, it does. He's sinless. Amen. He was tempted at all points. He was 100% human, just like Adam was 100% human when God made him. Yeah. All right. So over here, this person has not been born again. That was born of flesh is flesh. That was born of spirit is spirit. He's not yet been born again. He's separated from God. Let's just say it again. He has no fellowship with God. So let's turn to 1 Corinthians 15 and discover a couple things, or I'll remind you of some things. 1 Corinthians 15, hopefully where your marker is. Doesn't take long to get there. The person that is not saved, this unique, natural, Adamic person, produces activity or works, the things, whatever they do, here's what the Bible calls it, the works of the flesh. So that's what we're going to work on. Look at this, verse 1. I'm sorry, not verse 1. Verse 44. I'm the one preaching, so we're just starting here. You could start anywhere, but this is where we're starting. Verse 44. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. Oh, there is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. Stop right there. We're going to read more. Look up here, look up here. So here we go. I love it. I love it when the Bible is easy.
Amen.
Here it is. There is a natural body. There is a spiritual body. Pretty easy. Here we go. Verse 45. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. And it goes, the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Let's start with the first Adam. Look up here. We know that some of you, I love it, it's like January the 5th or something, that some of you are going, I'm going to read my Bible this year. I'm going to read it every day. You're already up to Genesis chapter 5. Way to go. But anyway, when God created Adam and Eve, the Bible says that he came down and he took the dirt and he formed a man out of the dust of the ground, out of dirt, and he formed man, and Adam stood there kind of like a wax figure until God breathed his own breath into Adam. And he was made a living soul. When Adam was created, he was created perfect, holy. Then he took Adam's rib and he made Eve. Whoa, she was wow, a woman. She's perfect. It's awesome. They're wonderful. I love it. Here we go. Watch what he says. Adam was made a living soul. Watch this. And then the last Adam. Now, some of you have been in church a while and you know who the last Adam is. But let's pretend like we don't know and we're just reading along. The Bible goes, well, the first Adam was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. We don't know who the last Adam is, but we do know this about him. He was made a quickening spirit. What does that mean? Quickening just means he has the ability to make dead things alive.
Amen.
Whatever he is, this quickening spirit, what he is, he has the ability to take something dead. It's alive. Amen. It's awesome. Here we go. Next verse. Where are we at? Verse 46. Howbeit, here's another easy verse. That was not first, which is spiritual, but that which is natural. Afterward, that which is spiritual. Here we go again. That was not first, which is spiritual, but the natural was first. Afterward was the spiritual. Pretty easy?
Yep.
Here we go, verse 47. The first man is of the earth, earthy. Uh-oh, here we go again. Why would the Bible say that? Because Adam was made out of the earth. You know, if you take the element chart, the chart with all the elements on it, and you take a shovel of dirt, and then you take someone who's been dead a long time, they've just kind of turned back to ashes or dust. You take that dirt, and you take a human, and we have the same elements in both. Why? Because we were made out of dirt.
Amen.
We're earthy. So the person next to you is really and truly a dirt bag. We are dirtbags. We are made of the earth. Look up here, I'll show you. See this? Oh, this is earthy. Then he says, look at 11. He goes, verse 47. The first man is of the earth earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. He's saying that the second man is the last Adam. So the last Adam, now we know who he is. He's the Lord from heaven. And he has the ability to make dead things alive.
Amen.
Who's the Lord from heaven? Well, it's Jesus.
Amen. Right.
The Word was with God, and was God. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The Word's name is Jesus. He's the Lord from heaven. Here we go, verse 48, I think. As is the earthy, well, such are they also that are earthy. As is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. As we have borne the image of the earthy, well, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Look up here. Here we go. Us here, we are earthy, and we bear the image of the earthy. What does that mean? We have the Adamic nature. We're earthy. Amen? But as is the heavenly, who's the heavenly? It's the Lord from heaven. When a person gets born again, their dead spirit is made alive. Over here, we have dead spirit. And then when we receive Christ as our Savior, we have a live spirit. We're born again. Amen. And since we are born again, us and it says we ought to bear the image of the Lord from heaven. Mercy sakes. Well, that's hard to do. Well, that's what we're talking about this morning a little bit, okay? All right, now watch. This unique person over here has God-given talents and abilities. Somebody say amen. Amen. When I got born again, I got saved, the dinger went off, and I'm born again now. Watch. I still got the same talents and abilities. God didn't say, now that you're saved, we're cracking, you're going to really be able to play the piccolo. I don't know how to play any musical instruments. My dad said it like this. Well, he can't even play on the linoleum without hurting himself. I don't play any instruments. I wish I could. But anyway, it's another story. Wait a minute. Over here, the natural man just does things for his own self. But over here, the spiritual man is supposed to have some of the heavenly. Bring glory to God. Wow. So over here, the natural man reveals that he has distorted God's gifts. And it's all about him. It's not for God's glory. So here's a question. What can we do with that natural man thing? What can be done to him or with him? Well, that's why here in 1 Corinthians, right in front of 1 Corinthians is the book of Romans. Flip back three or four pages in front of Corinthians to Romans chapter 6. Let me show you some truth here. Romans chapter 6. Oh. I'll just go ahead and insert it to my brain. I have some problems, OCD and some other things, but okay. Not OCD. Whatever one is bad. Yeah, ADHD thing. Yeah, one of them. I got lots of alphabet, but that's one of them. All right, here we go. So, I have so much fun when I'm preaching, and I enjoy it so much that I don't even realize that time is going by. Sorry, but I'm having fun. So anyway, we've only got like 45, 50 minutes left. Yes. No, I promise it's not. It'll just seem like it. So here we go. Romans 6, we're going to just jump in at verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Now look up here. He says, hey, McCracken, I want you to know this, that the old man is crucified with him. Well, who in the world is the old man? It's the Adamic man, the natural man. Is crucified, well, with him. Who is him? Who got crucified?
Jesus.
That henceforth we should not serve sin. In fact, it says it just a little different than that. It says that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Now watch. When a person is born again, watch, we start out over here with a dead spirit. When we get saved, we now have an alive spirit. Here's what happens. The Holy Spirit of God comes and makes our dead spirit alive. Watch carefully. That's the only thing that got saved in me. This did not get saved. Only this got born did again did. That which is born of God doth not sin, cannot sin. Cannot commit sin. That's how it says in 1 John. Well, what's that about? Because the Holy Spirit's in there. He can't sin. He can't commit sin. I was born again. But it says that knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. So he's telling us, hey, if you're a believer, watch this. The Holy Spirit moved into me, or you could say Jesus Christ moved into me, or you could say God moved into me. Right. Took up residence in me. I am now the temple of God. Amen. All right, well, watch. I'm the temple of God. The Holy Spirit lives in me, or Jesus lives in me. At the very, very same moment that he was placed into me, I was placed into Jesus. I am now in Christ, and he is in me. Is everybody with me? Watch this. And so he says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. Right. What does that mean? What it actually is, it's really large, but what it's saying, it says, when I got saved, I was placed into Jesus, and I get the benefit of everything he's ever done that he does. Right. What has he done? He died on the cross for my sin. Right. What happens when I got placed into Jesus? I died with him that the body of sin might be destroyed. Right. That henceforth we should not serve sin.
That's good. Amen.
Why? Because Jesus does not sin. He's tempted in all points and I got placed in him. I'm crucified with him that the body of sin might be destroyed. That henceforth we should not serve sin.
That's good. Amen.
I've been in church my whole life and I've heard it my whole life. Well, you have to sin every day. Yep. We're humans. We mess up. We have to sin every day. Well, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, when I got placed into Jesus, I was crucified with him that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin.
Right. Amen.
Amen. I didn't write it. We just read it.
Yes.
Watch this, verse 13. Look at this one. I'm sorry, verse 11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. He says, hey, McCracken, if you would understand that you got crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth you should not serve sin. He said, hey, McCracken, I want you to reckon ye yourselves also to be dead unto sin.
That's good.
What does reckon mean? Well, I grew up in Kentucky, and I've been living in Oklahoma the rest of my life, which is a long time, and I'll just tell you, we reckon stuff all the time. I reckon it's time for bed. I reckon I'm going to eat another hamburger. I reckon I ain't going. We reckon stuff all the time. Reckon means to reconcile or recognize it. But it also, reckon means to reconcile. It's actually a mathematical term that they would use if they're doing keeping the books. What's keeping the books? This is hard to believe, but keeping books is only addition and subtraction. That's all it is. So you do addition. When you put money in, you add it up. When you take money out, you subtract it. Pretty easy. Now, I know there's some old people in here, and we know what reconcile your bank statement means. But I also know there's people in here under 40 that go, I ain't never done that. What do you mean? They don't reconcile it. My daughters are 46 and 45. They've never reconciled. I said, do you write checks? Well, sometimes. Well, how do you know how much money you have? Dad, it's on the phone. There it is. Reconcile means that you check it out and you make sure that it all coincides and that they agree where you can count it so. It's true. He says, hey, McCracken, reconcile. That's what he says, reckon ye yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. recognize, hey, Bubba, you are dead to sin. Here's what it says in verse 11. Dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God. Look here, ladies and gentlemen. Does the Bible... Did we just read out of Romans 6 that if you're born again, that you're crucified with Christ? Yes. That the body of sin might be destroyed. Yes. That henceforth you should not serve sin. And we need to recognize that is true. We're dead to sin. Okay. I'll just tell you. I felt like, well, I guess I'm not even saved. I mess up a lot. Excuse me? If it's true I'm dead to sin, if it's true that henceforth I should not serve sin, why do we have so much trouble with our behavior, our attitude, our lust for things, our lust for attention, our lust for self-satisfaction? Why do we have so much trouble with sin if we're dead to sin? I think it's a good question.
Amen.
Well, that's what I'm going to help you with. Turn back to chapter 3 of 1. You're in Romans, so you got to go after Romans. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We've got somewhere around 10 minutes left, okay? So just hang in there. You don't have to leave. It's okay. We're getting close. Oh, mercy. Oh, I forgot to do that. Oh. Okay, we'll do it. I'll do it a different lane. Here we go. I'm the one preaching. It's okay. Okay. Verse 1. Paul writes to Christian people at Corinth, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able." Verse 3, "For ye are yet carnal, whereas there's among you," here's some evidence of carnality, "envying, strife, divisions." Are you not carnal and walk as men? Look up here. We're going to work on this. Watch. When he says, "Are you not carnal and walk as men?" He's saying, you're carnal and you're walking as men. You're behaving as if you're not even spiritual.
Right.
You're not even saved.
Yes.
Wait a minute. We have the natural Adamic man. Natural man. We now have the spiritual man. We go, this is awesome. But now we found out we got the carnal man. Wow. So we were supposed to do this. I'm going to do it now. The moment we get saved, the spiritual man is made alive. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Watch out. Watch. The moment we get saved, the war begins.
Yes.
Between who? Between the spiritual and the carnal.
Right.
The natural, he dead, he gone, he out of here. I don't have to worry about that anymore. But now I realize, oh, I got the carnal man. So what is the carnal man? And I'm not trying to brag to you folks and all this stuff. And I hate for it to come across that it might even think like I am bragging. But I do know a little Spanish. So there's something in Spanish called chili con carne. Chili con carne. Now, I thought chili was like when you go to the restaurant Chili's, they have that big red pepper out there, and there's a chili pepper. When it's just chili, it's just a bean. So chili, bean, con, C-O-N is with in Española. And then there's chili con carne. Carne is meat. Like from a cow. Yes. Chili con carne. Another way to say meat is flesh.
Right.
Beans with flesh. Yes. Now I've gone to people's houses and say, "Hey, Brother Dave, you like chili? I love chili." And they bring me chili and I'm looking at it, I go, "You ain't got no meat." I know, it's just chili beans. But I like chili con carne. I want meat in my chili. So So when Paul says to him, hey, I'm speaking to you as unto carnal, he said, you're not behaving spiritually. Your behavior is fleshly. The Bible says the moment we get saved, the battle begins. In the book of Galatians, it says, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. So the battle is going, when you get saved, it's going to rage from now on. As long as you're breathing air, you're going to have a war.
Amen. Amen.
The Bible, in fact, says the weapons are for warfare.
Yep.
I do like this. The weapons of warfare are not carnal. I really do wish it was. Because there are times I want to take a baseball bat and just boom, knock the carnal man out. Chili con carne down, yeah. But the Bible says they're not carnal, and you can't do that. But they are mighty through God. So over here, we do have more powerful weapons than the carnal chili con carne has. Amen?
Amen.
It's a hallelujah. So, this carnal man, what do we do with him? We can't beat him up, but we do have weapons. You know, let me just tell you how Jesus said it. Here's how Jesus said it to every one of us. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. What does that mean, deny himself? That means tell Mr. Con Carne, no.
Right.
The spiritual man wants to do what's heavenly.
Amen.
The carnal man wants to do what's earthy.
Right. Yes.
So the spiritual man needs to tell the carnal man, no, deny himself.
Yes.
And when we do this, watch. The spiritual man goes, starting a new year, I'm going to read my Bible every day. I'm going to do it. And the con carne goes, you're a jerk. You know you're not going to do that. You've tried to do it several times. It ain't work. You can't do it. And spiritual man said, well, I'm going to this year. And con carne goes, you are such an idiot. It will not work. And then you go, I'm going to be faithful in church. I'm going to really live for God. And con carne goes, you are funny. You know you ain't doing that. We're going to go some places this year, baby. And Mr. Spiritual goes, you're going to just have to shut up. Back off. You're dead to me. And con carne goes, nee, 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 nee. You think I'm dead, but I'm right going wherever you go. I'm right behind you. Amen. Con carne is always telling us we can't. The Bible says, Jesus says, deny himself. The hardest thing that humans can do is tell ourselves no.
Amen.
You know, a good description that the Bible does use, the Bible does use it. In fact, Jesus said, when you fast, Jesus did not say, well, if you ever fast, Jesus said, when you fast. And some of you are going, what's fast? When you don't eat.
Amen.
Jesus said there's supposed to be times when we don't eat. And con carne goes, that's stupid. And spiritual man goes, we got to get control on this thing. I'm going to deny you. And con carne goes, you know, if you try to go without food, you're going to get a bad headache. You're stupid. Well, I don't care if we get a headache or not. Today, I'm not listening to you.
Amen.
Let me just say to you, is anything wrong with eating? No. Hallelujah. It's good to eat.
Amen.
There's lots of things that we enjoy in the flesh that's not wicked.
Right.
It's not wrong to go fishing.
Amen.
It's not wrong to go hunting.
Amen.
It's not wrong to go shopping.
Amen.
Well, let me look at my wife just a second. It's not sinful to go shopping, but it could turn into sin. Just wondering, anyway. There's all kinds of things that are not wicked. There's all kinds of activities we enjoy. It's awesome. It's not sinful. But there are times that it is sinful to go fishing. spiritual man would say, no, not today. And kind Carney goes, you haven't had a day off in weeks. It's time to go do what you want to do. Spiritual man goes, not today. There is nothing wrong with fishing. I enjoy being with those buddies and friends. And not today. Does everybody hear me? There's nothing wrong with that. I got a problem. I like sugar. I like sweets. And I'm thankful that I'm not way overweight and all that stuff. But I do love sweets. I like them. If they're laying right there, I should eat it. And I know everybody doesn't like Krispy Kreme donuts, but if you've ever had a hot one, oh, they are so good. If my family says, hey, Dad, would you go buy some Krispy Kremes? Yeah. But if I buy a couple dozen, I have to buy an extra dozen because I'm going to eat a dozen on the way home. I'm not kidding. I eat a whole dozen. I've eaten a dozen donuts more than a dozen times in one setting. And people go, why would you do that? Because they were there and they're hot. Did you get sick? No, I did not get sick. Did you get a headache? No, I did not get a headache. I loved it. I love them. You had a hot Krispy Kreme? Honey, they're circles, but then you just bend them into a figure eight. You push them in, they disappear. Then all of a sudden you ate six of them. You go, well, give me a drink of milk. Six more. The most I've ever eaten in one sitting, 16. Why? They were in front of me and they're hot. I've only done that twice. I'm not bragging about it. I just like them. Brother Dave, was that sin? I don't know. I didn't get sick. But listen carefully. If I ate a dozen every morning, I might think it'd be sin. Mr. Spiritual Man go, hey, Bubba. Con carne, you're getting a little big over here, ain't you? I won't buy a different size pants. I wear a 36, kind of. But when it starts cutting the circulation off my legs and I can't feel my legs, one of them's got to give in. I either got to be bigger pants or stop eating so many Krispy Kreme. Is everybody hearing me? There's nothing wrong with eating, enjoying life and food. But it can be sinful. Anything can be. The spiritual man is at war with the carnal man. What do? We tell the carnal man, no. You and I must learn how to say the word no and mean it. Not like we're talking to our 3-year-old going no 20 times or 5 times. Once should be enough. We know what that means with 3-year-olds and 4-year-olds, but do we know what it means with con carne? Will we tell him no? It's life-changing if we would learn how to tell Mr. Con carne no. Amen. Friend, if you're not saved, if you're still over here, God's given you all kinds of ability, but he wants fellowship with you and you to use those abilities to bring him glory. He wants to save you, and Jesus Christ is the Savior. Amen. I ask you to stand with me. Thank you for listening.